listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this Christmas day, in Jesus' name. Amen. If a child was to ask you what the word incarnate means, what would you tell her or him? If a child was to ask you, what does incarnate mean? God is incarnate. What would you say to them? Think about that for a second and turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what you would say to a child. And there are children here. So what would you say to a child if a child asks, what does incarnate mean? Go ahead, do that for just a second. What does incarnate mean?
In the body.
Incarnate. Anybody willing to share what they would say? Yes. What would you tell them?
In the body, in the flesh.
In the body, in the flesh. Very good. Yeah. All right. In the body, in the flesh. Anybody else? What would you say to a child? What does incarnate mean? Made real. Very nice. Yeah.
Alive.
Yeah. Yeah. In the spirit. Yeah. Very nice. In the spirit, in the body. All good things. Yeah. Very good. On this first and only Sunday of Christmas, the sixth day of Christmas, we have a Christmas story and even more, this time according to John's Gospel. It's not the Christmas story that we hear and that we saw on Christmas Eve. Many of you children were part of that. That was Luke's version. Luke emphasizes God always siding with the poor. And that's why we have this story about a poor young Mary and poor shepherds. And that's who God comes to first. God even becomes poor. Born in a manger. It's not the story in Matthew's gospel either, with the wise men from the east. There, Emmanuel, God with us, that's a Matthean word. God with us moves the stars. We'll celebrate that next week. Isn't that powerful? God's love for us has the power to move stars. That's next week. That's Matthew's gospel. And then you see these leaders, these world leaders, traveling great distances and working over and against the powers of the day. That's Matthew's gospel. No, John's Christmas story here is more abstract and cosmic. I mean, it's like poetry. The Word becomes flesh and lives among us. It emphasizes God becoming Jesus. It emphasizes the divinity of Christ more than any other gospels. There's no question. According to John, there is question with the other Gospels, actually. But there's no question, according to John, which is why Luther loves John the best, that Jesus is God. God is Jesus. No question. God comes down and is born in a manger. You ever think about it like that? That's God in the manger that we're celebrating on Christmas Eve and in this season of 12 days. Wrap your head around that. You can't. You can't. It's the mystery of the divine. It is inexplainable. The Word becomes flesh and lives among us. This is John's gospel today. Does anybody remember the song Putting on the Ritz?
Yes.
That's a great old song. How does it go? If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Sing it with me. Putting on the Ritz. Yeah, putting on the Ritz. I wonder how many of you are going to be putting on the Ritz tomorrow night for New Year's Eve. Getting fancy. A lot of you were fancy on Christmas Eve, putting on the Ritz. Your most beautiful, most handsome outfits. But here in the Gospel of John, I'm talking about incarnation. It's a little different. I wrote a different verse. I think you're going to love it. If you're blue and you don't know where to go, then God comes close and breathes our breath, putting on our flesh. All right. Fine. Okay. Well, anyway, that is the image, though, this incarnation. Incarnate literally means, as you all were saying, it means in the flesh. God moves into our midst, and not just into our neighborhood. Some translations say the word becomes flesh and moves into the neighborhood. I really like that. Except some neighbors are really nice and they just keep to themselves. So it's even more than that. God doesn't just move into the neighborhood, but God moves into our bones. Maybe that's your working definition of incarnate. God moving into our bones. Micah said that once when he was little. I did the same children's talk, where does God live? And Micah was a little boy at that time. And Micah said, in our bones. And I thought, that's the sermon. I didn't give a sermon that day. That was it. If you don't think of anything else in terms of incarnate, just imagine God moves into our bones. God breathes our breath. The divine, the mystery of the triune God is embedded right into our skin. Merry Christmas. Is that kind of creepy? Or do you like the idea that God is as close to us as our very breath? I think it's both. It's kind of scary to think that we are seeing God right now as we look at one another. God is so deeply enfleshed into our world that God is part of our own breath. God is in our skin. God lives in our bones. This is the truth, that God is deeply with us, sisters and brothers in Christ. According to John's Christmas story here, which, by the way, tells us also that this has been the reality since the very beginning. In the beginning, it starts. John's Christmas story, Jesus himself is there at the very beginning. Genesis is the Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's been there all along, and this God is Jesus Christ. Okay. So what does this mean? This is an abstract concept. Who cares, right? Okay, some poet long ago in 100 AD thinks that Jesus is God and God is Jesus, and this God, Jesus, moves into our being, even into our flesh. But how does that shake out in our everyday lives? Well, for one thing, it reminds us that God is no longer confined somewhere far away. Long ago, a galaxy far, far away. God doesn't live up there. When I hear people talk about God just living up there and maybe God will come down if God gets mad, I wonder, did they ever read the Christmas story? God is here. And not just here in church when you come on Sunday. God is here in our bones, in our flesh. Look at your hands. God is here with us, and God moves with us and among us. God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Only at the end of the Gospel of Luke do we have a story where Jesus ascends up. And that happens almost in sync with the Spirit coming right back to be among us, to move us outward. The Spirit of God blows into and through the people. It's just another version of God comes close and breathes our breath, putting on our flesh. God gets specific. God puts on your flesh, like it or not. On one hand, it is abstract, but on the other, God's presence and love couldn't be more concrete, embedded into our everyday flesh and bones, in our everyday lives, embedded into our everyday water that we gathered around. You know where we got that water? From the faucet. And yet God comes into our everyday stuff. We've got bread and wine on the altar. We'll share that. You know where it came from? Well, Cindy made the bread. She got the ingredients at the grocery store. The wine came from the store. Human hands made it. It's just everyday stuff, and yet God comes and is, in a mysterious way, deeply present in that everyday fruit of the vine. Thank God for this refresher today in incarnational theology. It's like Christmas part two. We're digging in even deeper and celebrating this incarnation of God, because it's easy, even today in 2018, almost 2019, it is easy still to separate out nicely and neatly the body and the spirit. The body is this earthly evil thing and the spirit is heavenly. But John's gospel and our Lutheran faith upon which it is based, Luther elevated John's gospel above all the others because of the Christology, because Christ is most definitely God. John's gospel and our Lutheran faith mixes up earth and heaven. Christ incarnate and dwelling among us means that the earthly and the heavenly come together, that the body and the spirit are joined, not just to be flashy and cool, not just to make New Year's fireworks and pizzazz. No, God joins heaven and earth for our sake. God does this. God joins heaven and earth as the divine chooses to live among us, right smack in our brokenness, right smack in our being dried out and bitter and cracked and covered up. It means that God, in fact, is the one in the manger. God in the manger, the feeding trough, the slop bucket of our lives. At the early service on Christmas Eve, I talked about bringing a box of manure in here, thinking about the smells of Christmas. What if I had done that? Open it up and you smell manure. The point is that God enters into the stink of our lives and of our world. What? So even in our pain, God sits and stays with us, even if no one else seems to? Yes. So even in our stresses about this new year, even though everyone is talking about hope and joy and happiness and starting over, but really, I am freaking out and have no idea what might be coming next. Even in that, how I'm going to make it in 2019, God is with me? Yes. Even when I feel so ashamed of the things that I have done in the past or the things that I'm doing right now, God hasn't left me. God hasn't given up on me. That's right. Friends, it is a hard time recovering from Christmas. We're still in Christmas, but we're recovering from this holiday season. Many of us have caught colds through this time. It's a hard time paying off debts. It's a hard time with the government shut down. A lot is going on that's got us anxious and afraid. You mean God is still with us in all of that? We're amping up for another round, a new year. Great. Time to work off the Christmas pound, trying to make resolutions and claim new, healthier habits. It can all just be overwhelming. It can be quite awake from the disasters and the tragedies that have happened in December. That was a hard month too. And yet God refuses to go back into the box with the nativity figurines. God chooses to stay right beside you through this upcoming year, embedded, incarnated love, living in the fiber of your very being. God gets specific. This is the gift, once again, of the Christ child who shines in the darkness. It is so quiet. With all the noise and all the things in our world, this entrance of God into our world, it's not a bright light. I think of it more like a night light that helps us when we're afraid. It's what night lights do best. We can see where we're going. It's not bright. It's not blinding. It's just a little light. At Christmas, the one we shined and lit and sang Silent Night. It's just a little light that shines in the darkness. We're about to sing In the Bleak Midwinter as our hymn of the day, which I think names where some of us are, maybe many of us, cold and concerned, afraid. God finds us wherever we are in this December and January. In this turnover time, God finds us. God breaks into this world, into our lives, even into our breath and our bones. And friends, there is nothing we can do about it. Our kids have been playing with their cousins hide and seek. Yeah. Ready or not, here I come. This is what God says to us at Christmas. God loves you whether you like it or not. Try to say to somebody this week that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it, because that's the truth. Say it to someone that is difficult to say it to, too. God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. God breaks into our worlds, into our hearts, into our flesh. And all we can do in this bleak midwinter is open our hands and receive this most precious gift, this salvation. It is ours through this incarnated Jesus Christ, who is God. Thanks be to God, dwelling right here with us every moment and forever. God is here to stay. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.